Usually I start these podcasts with a wee spiel about the book I'm going to read from. Sometimes they're from old blog posts, sometimes it's a new short piece I'll write specifically for the podcast, and sometimes it just appears by magic, out of thin air. This week, none of those things happened, and so there's no little spiel. Straight to readings from this week's title, Scenes from the Barbershop Floor, Volume 2, which we did once before, back in Week 1. This doesn't mean we've come full circle, as there are many more books to be rated for content, but I felt like reading some top-quality barbershop scenes, and these are some of the finest in all literature. Listeners, some random scenes from Scenes from the Barbershop Floor, Volume 2, taken from various episodes written in December 2020, when everything was shit, although perhaps not quite as shit as it is now. Friday morning in the town of Millport. There were high, white clouds flitting across the sky and grey-blue waves rolling up, bouncing off the rocks. Seagulls whirling in the air, their mournful cries carrying across the sea, and in the far distance, a freight vessel edging slowly across the horizon. But was any of it real? The men of the Millport barbershop seemed real enough, although there had been no customers yet that day to validate their existence. As great philosophers of old used to conjecture, if a man doesn't cut anyone's hair, can he be called a barber? They were standing at the window, three men in a row, Barney Thompson, legend of the fall, Keanu McPherson, hairdresser pursuant, and Igor, their deaf, mute, hunchback aide-de-camp, looking out upon the world. The road, a pavement either side, the white promenade wall, and beyond, crossed the sea to the distant freighter, bound for the Spice Islands off the coast of Myanmar. The men were eating cinnamon buns, which Barney had made that morning. He did the dough proving overnight, then he'd risen at 4 a.m. in order to have time for a second prove before getting the buns in the oven in time for work. A batch of 16, eight of which had gone with D.S. Monk to the police station, the rest here at the shop. Two each of the men, with a couple spare should they consider any customer worthy of being a bun recipient. Didn't happen often. The cinnamon buns, of course, may well also have been fictional. Hard to say. They tasted great, though, so that was all that mattered. On the customer's bench behind the men lay the raw sewage of that day's newspapers, already largely condemned to be ignored. Barney liked to play his part, though. He had his order in at the local newsagents, and he didn't want to cancel it, and occasionally they would get in a customer who'd pick up a newspaper, rather than take a phone from his pocket. On top of the pile was the Telegraph, its headline, Hero Johnson Watches Trump Coup with Interest, Makes Notes, beneath which lay the Guardian, Washington's Capitol Hill ablaze, Trump regime pins blame on Pelosi, The Express, Johnson backs Trump purge of leftist loons, The Mail, Number 10 bloodbath as Priti Patel closes in on power. The Mirror, 73 Democrat lawmakers executed or jailed as Trump loses shit. The Sun, Trump has erectile malfeasance, claims latest porn star to share diaper Donnie's bed. The Independent, Cummings leaves Johnson's flayed, mutilated body hung from lamppost outside Number 10 on way out the door. The Star, Gove writes USA in crayon and birth certificate, throws hat into ring for 2024 GOP nomination. The National, get the fuck in, says Nicola, as Scotland qualify for Euros. Unlike the town of Millport, the barbershop and the cinnamon buns, sadly there was nothing fictional about the destruction of democracy on either side of the Atlantic. What's that line about the lamps going out around Europe or something that Churchill said? Asked Keanu. The mood in the shop was sombre. There's so many things going on in the world. None of them were good. Sure, the cinnamon buns were pretty phenomenal, by the way, but a good cinnamon bun and a cracking cup of tea or coffee can only take you so far in life. The lamps are going out all over Europe, said Barney, his voice low. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime. Ugh, said Igor, nodding. They stood in silence for a while. Outside, all was quiet. The wind still, and with the door closed, the sound of the sea was lost to them. Occasionally, Barney had music playing in the shop, but not this morning. He'd given Petrock and Radio 3 the first half hour of the day, but with the passing of the breakfast show, the radio had been turned off and silence had fallen. It's pretty good, Churchill, right? Said Keanu. He's like Gandhi or Oscar Wilde. Quote for every occasion. I wonder if he ever said anything about Lord of the Rings. It wasn't Churchill. What? It wasn't Churchill who said the line about the lamps going out. He gave a speech in 1938 where he said the lights were going out, but he was mirroring the Fuller line from the Foreign Secretary during the First World War. Who was that? He was the Foreign Secretary during World War I. Aye. Barney thought about it a moment, couldn't remember his name, looked at Igor. Arf, said Igor. Igor remembered everything. Never heard of him, said Keanu. He took a drink of coffee, another bite of cinnamon bun. It really was the perfect bun. Had a way with words, though, eh? He added a while later. A seagull settled on the promenade wall across the road, looking into the shop. The men looked at the gull. The gull stared back, as apparently the gull had an eye for one of those buns, being entirely possible it had heard talk of their quality. I'd eat up, lads, said Barney, if only to protect that wee fellow from taking a header into the window. No one really knows for sure whether birds understand the concept of glass. And so, as had been commanded, the men of the shop finished off their buns, and the gull lived to see another bleak day in the west of Scotland. The shop was quiet, the only sounds of the repetitive sweep of Igor's brush and the click of Barney's scissors as he gave young Boffo Longbottom his bimonthly Lapsang Souchong variated undercut. Boffo was looking at his phone, seemingly uninterested in conversation, which of course suited Barney perfectly, while Keanu was reading a fuzzbead article on his iPad entitled Shag Marry Get the Fuck Out of Dodge, The Biggest Bond Villains Graded. It had been placed as an advertising feature, or advertorial, as it's known in the Fools and Their Money Are Easily Parted business, during one of the previous times the new Bond movie had been scheduled for release and had never actually been removed despite the movie's continuing late arrival. Everyone loves a Bond villain, but what if you actually loved a Bond villain? With so many actual potential Bond villains in the world, from uber-weird Elon Musk to haunted sarcophagus Mark Zuckerberg, the chances of meeting the real thing keep rising. With the incredible new Bond film No Time to Die out this week, we took a look at Bond's most famous villains, from the ones who'll give you all the feels to the ones who'll have you pressing the ejector button in the passenger seat. Rosa Klebb. You probably don't want to go anywhere near the brutalist Klebb, the spectre operative from the second Bond film From Russia with Love. If you do inexplicably find yourself about to head to the bedroom, make sure she takes off her shoes. Get the fuck out of Dodge. Or at Goldfinger. No oil painting, but on the plus side, he has a private jet and you'll stay in the best hotels. However, he looks like he'll be into some seriously kinky sex. And when he gets the gold paint out, it's time to run. Get the fuck out of Dodge. Electra King. Glamour millionaires from the world is not enough. Sure, she might have you killed, so you probably don't want to stick around, but she's rich, she's gorgeous, and who wouldn't want to take that risk? Shag. Alec Trevelyan. Turncoat MI6 character from GoldenEye. You know you can't trust them, but hey, it's Sean Bean. Go for it. Take out a massive life insurance policy and wait for him to die. Sean Bean always dies. Marry. Miranda Frost. Frost from Chill, Thrill or Die Another Day is as beautiful as she is untrustworthy. You don't want to miss out on the sex, and if you can rope in Halle Berry's Jinx from the same movie to join you, we salute you, but commitment will be the end of you. Shag. Jaws. Everyone's favourite lovable Bond giant, Jaws is the vicious villain with the heart of gold. Go on, ladies, you know he's worth it. Just watch out for the clash of teeth at the height of passion. Marry. Xenia on a top. Famke Janssen's killer character from GoldenEye has tons going for her. Fighter pilot? Yep. Intelligent? Yep. Beautiful? Yep. Has orgasms while committing murder during sex? Wait, what? Yes, the alluring on a top likes to crush lovers to death with her thighs. Get the fuck out of Dodge. Blofeld. The character has truly found his mark in the hands of Christoph Waltz, first inspector and now in the latest Bond thriller, No Time to Die. Cunning and charismatic, he's evil with a knowing smile and the coolest scar in film. If you like supreme criminal power and don't mind being married to a psychopath, Blofeld might just be worth it. Marry. Pussy Galore. Is she actually a villain? Who cares? Pussy Galore was the sexiest thing to come out of the 60s, and the 60s had Diana Rigg and Daphne from Scooby-Doo. Marry. Safin. In No Time to Die, Safin is the uber-intelligent, uber-vicious terrorist that finally might be a match for Bond. Naturally, in the hands of Rami Malek, there's something delicious about him. But ladies, beware. Safin wants to kill everyone. You'll want to check this villain out for yourself, but we recommend get the fuck out of Dodge. No Time to Die, 25th Bond movie, opens in cinemas Friday the 13th. Thought Keanu. I wonder which Friday the 13th he meant. Who's your favourite Bond villain? He tossed out to the shop, looking around. Boffo Longbottom was only the third customer of the day. So far, Keanu had made one cut. It was almost 11 a.m. Some days he went with the flow as time ground to halt, and some days he wouldn't have minded another customer or two. Even though most right-thinking men are happy to live without conversation, few are there amongst them who can resist talk of Bond villains, or indeed any topic that might be Bond-related. Barney paused the cut for the moment. Igor leant on the top of his brush and stared off into the far yonder, and Longbottom, who no one in the town had heard talk in over 2 years, nodded to himself as he stared at his own reflection and considered what might be one of the great questions. Fiona Volpe, said Barney to kick things off. I'm not sure I'm familiar with her work, said Keanu. Sure you are, said Barney. The lady assassin in Thunderball. Helps steal the nukes, rides a missile-launching motorbike, has sex with Bond, nearly kills him, doesn't quite pull it off because Bond dying isn't in the script. Something like that. Right, said Keanu. Not bad, she's decent. Aye, what about you? I like Silva, said Keanu, from Skyfall. I mean, Javier Bardem looks like a serial killing lunatic even when he's eating Weetabix. Have you seen Javier Bardem eat Weetabix? Not sure. And then he's got that weird jaw thing he does. Ah, shit, it's awesome. A beat. He nodded to himself while he thought about the weird jaw thing. Then he said, Igor? Igor looked guilty then for the moment, then sniggered. Arf, he said, unable to stop himself laughing. Ha, said Keanu. You are a piece of work, said Barney. What? Said Longbottom. What'd I miss? The rest of the shop looked at Longbottom, surprised. Keanu hadn't expected him to actually get involved in the chat. Indeed, word around town was that Longbottom had taken a vow of silence following the acrimonious conclusion to his relationship with Mavis Dunwoodie after hearing of her part in the hardcore Williams Bay pornographic movie business. Doesn't matter, said Barney. Igor can be very non-PC. Some things are better left unsaid. Oh. Keanu was still shaking his head, then in order to move on quickly, threw Boffle into the conversation. Moneypenny, said Boffle Longbottom. We're talking about villains. Moneypenny's a villain, said Boffle. Pretty obvious she's been working for the Russians this entire time. Everyone looked at him, only Igor with a sly smile on his face. Go on. She's always trying to get Bond into bed, even though she knows he's a bit of a cunt. And why doesn't he take it up on it? That's easy sex, right there. And Bond is a piece of work. Don't go pretending he's too chivalrous to bed the boss's PA. Bond would shag your mum if he needed to kill 5 minutes. I'd like to see Bond shag my mum, thought Barney. He knows, you see, continued Boffle Longbottom, tapping the side of his head, his hand lifting the cape as he did so. She exists only to extract information from him. And of course, in the current incarnation, she shoots him in the bridge pretending she hadn't meant to. But we know, she was aiming to kill him. But she just fucked it. Said Barney. Not sure I completely agree. But it's a theory. We'll put it to the full executive steering committee of the Barbershop Practical Hypothesis Department and get back to you on whether or not it has any validity. Don't really know what just happened in that sentence, said Longbottom, but I'll take it, thanks. Barney raised his eyebrows at the customer and the mother. Between them, they accepted that it was time to once more rejoin battle. Then Longbottom settled down and Barney resumed the cut. Keanu and Igor exchanged a quick glance. Conversation over. Then Keanu returned solemnly to the next fuzzbead article. You won't believe the 7 weird things this mom found in her husband's pants. And Igor once more took up the brush. Still too early yet to see how the day would turn, although only rarely in these coronavirus times would the shop be busy. People were wary. Well, some were wary, others were idiots. The unwary were the kinds of people who would have gone on holiday to Belgium in October 1918 rather than leave it a couple of months. Not that Belgium was the world's premier holiday destination in December 1918, but at least there was a less chance of getting shot if you lit a cigarette after nightfall. There was a quiet, harmonious hum about the barbershop, the gentle sound of a day going about its business. Click of scissors, sweep of Igor's brush, the rustle of a newspaper, the swish of cape fabric, the soft sound of a barber's footfall as he moved slowly around the chair. Barney was cutting the hair of old man Schrödinger, who had said he might want a haircut or he might not, and so Barney was just randomly snipping away, doing enough to make the customer feel like he was getting something done, but not enough for anyone to notice any difference about his hair. Keanu was giving old man McCartney the same Mull of Kintyre cut he'd been getting since 1977, McCartney was reading The Independent, a story headed Trump looks to baby Yoda in last-ditch election overturn attempt, and Schrödinger was reading another Trump article in The Sun. See on Trump, began old man Schrödinger, indicating the newspaper with a small nod. Then he allowed silence to return as he appeared to decide that seeing on Trump was a beginning, a middle and an end of a discussion in itself. Barney naturally would have let it go. Keanu, however, was not one to leave an itch unscratched. What's he done now, Mr. Schrödinger? He asked after a few moments, smiling as Barney slung him the familiar rueful glance. Schrödinger took a second, then he looked strangely at Keanu in the mirror and said, Who? Trump. Oh, bam. What's he done now? Schrodinger looked animatedly baffled. Barney temporarily suspended the cut to avoid serious injury. Then he said, "Fuck shit, I know what he's done. You just said see you on Trump, did I? Aye. Why'd I say that?" Barney gave Keanu the same look, times a thousand. Keanu smiled broadly at old man Schrodinger. "We don't know, Mr. Schrodinger. You must have read something about him in the paper." Schrodinger turned away and looked curiously at himself in the mirror. "What was the last thing you read?" asked Keanu, hoping to nudge him, as he didn't seem to be doing the obvious thing of actually looking at the paper, albeit he had turned the page since he'd started what was quickly becoming known as the Trump Affair. "One of the 50 Shades books," said Schrodinger, "though I don't know what that's got to do with it." "In the paper!" snapped Barney, unable to stop himself. "Oh aye, which one?" asked old man McCartney, joining the fun. "I love they books. My favourite's 50 Shades Anal." "No heard of that one," said Schrodinger. "Got it in the library, but you can only find it if you come through the back door." And then he chuckled. "Yes, the blessed name of Dan Brown," he chuckled. "Help my bob," muttered Schrodinger, "the neck of some people. Where was I?" Barney was now standing with his arms folded, looking at Keanu, who had his lips pressed together, trying not to laugh. Igor was sniggering at the back of the shop. "You were trying to remember which 50 Shades book you just read," said McCartney. "No, you weren't," Barney threw into the ring. 50 Shades Moister," said Schrodinger, nodding to himself. "Oh, nice," said McCartney. "Terrific lesbian scenes. Really gets me and Margaret going on a Friday night. I like to read it on the bath." "Oh, my fucking God," said Barney quietly to himself, and he ran the hand that wasn't holding a pair of scissors across his face. "Erwin," said Barney, looking up, determined to bring the madness to conclusion. 2 minutes ago, or maybe it was 2 days, we've been here so long it's hard to tell. You were reading the paper on the page before the one you're currently looking at, and you said, see you on Trump. Then, to the delight of most of us, but for some reason to the consternation of my young, soon-to-be former employee, you didn't add to that. So will you please, for the love of God, turn back the page, see what it is that Trump did to get you talking, and tell Keanu, and then I'm going to finish your haircut, and you can be on your way. Haircut? I don't remember actually asking for a haircut," said Schrodinger. Then he added, "Or did I? Turn back the page, Erwin." "I'm not going anywhere, by the way," said Keanu, smiling. "I've got rights." "Arf!" Barney gave them both a look, sighed heavily, then looked over Schrodinger's shoulder as he turned the page to see the Trump article. There were 3 news articles across the double page. "Alien monster shark discovered off Dover. Not one of mine," claims Patel. "With Brexit in mind, man eats entire horse to lay down winter fat." And "new edition of government minister top Trumps gives Gove 0 out of 10 in every category, except cunt." Schrodinger studied the page. Igor and Keanu craned their necks to have a look. Everyone read the headlines. Barney gave his colleagues the most side-eyed side-eye anyone ever gave anyone else in the long, storied history of the side-eye. "Don't know who you're talking about," said Schrodinger. "I think you're full of shite, Barney." Barney laid down the scissors, lifted the brush, quickly brushed off Schrodinger's shoulders and neck, then whipped off the cape. "You're done, Erwin. That'll be £10. You can pay Igor on your way out." Schrodinger stared at himself in the mirror, a little surprised. Though, to be fair, he quite liked the new haircut. Or did he? He said. "Come on," said Barney. "Up, out, there's a queue." Keanu laughed again and turned back to McCartney's mullican tire. Igor, smiling cheekily to himself, bent once more over his brim. Barney walked to the back of the shop to turn the radio on. The shop went about its business. And somewhere, out there, in the miles and depths of British coastal waters, Pretty Patel's alien monster shark bided its time. Late afternoon, the final customer of the day, Barney at work. Keanu at the window, locked into the never-changing view of the world, Igor sweeping up at the rear of the shop. Little had changed since the morning, neither inside nor out. The tide had moved, one supposes. The clouds had frittered from west to east, filling in the gaps where the blue sky occasionally showed. The gulls perhaps had changed personnel, but it was impossible to tell. "So," said Barney's customer, 49-year-old Toby Dreadnought, a man in search of a midlife crisis in for his regular variated crane fly cut, "wasn't it you who said Trump would resign before the election? Made an arse of that, mate." Barney looked at him in the mirror, glanced at Keanu, turned back to Dreadnought. "We've done that one today," said Barney. "What one?" "We've talked about this already with another customer. Under the Yeshuv Covenant of 2019, barbers no longer have to repeat a conversation on the same day." Dreadnought held Barney's gaze in the mirror, eyebrows positioned in curiosity, then said, "That's not an actual thing." "It is," said Barney. Not all barbers are signatories to the agreement, of course. He paused, he indicated a small notice on the wall behind, to which few had ever previously paid attention, then added, "But we are." Dreadnought's eyes narrowed as he tried to make out the document in the mirror, could see little of it, then looked suspiciously at Barney. "What else is covered in this agreement, which, frankly, I've never heard of before?" "Why should you have heard of it?" said Barney. "Just because I know you doesn't mean I know anything about the covenants around cleaning toilets." Dreadnought took a moment to catch up as Keanu laughed gently. Then Dreadnought rolled his eyes, accepting the jibe. "Fine, whatever," he said. "So what haven't you talked about today?" Barney resumed the cut, quickly snipping away at the back of the head. This cut had to be executed quickly and Dreadnought punted out into the end of the afternoon. He had little patience for talkers these days, with the odd exceptions such as old man Maguire, whose irascibility occasionally amused them. "The war in the Nagorno-Karabakh," said Barney. Dreadnought looked blank. "The absurd new abortion laws in Poland, potential Chinese invasion of Taiwan in April 2021, anything related to the fields of physics and chemistry, the novels of Nobel winner Olga Tokarczuk. It's really a pretty long list. I could go on." "I don't know anything about any of them," said Dreadnought. Barney finished off the scissor work, scooped up the clippers and began to buzz quickly around the back and side of the head. Barbers with Barney's level of skill can do most haircuts in under 2.5 minutes if they really need to. "What about the new season of Star Trek Discovery?" said Dreadnought. Keanu started to say something, but was instantly cut off by Barney. "Not bad," he said. "Don't watch it myself, but I know Keanu does. He has opinions, and we haven't talked about it all day. Unfortunately, you just used the word season rather than series, so that disqualifies you from talking about it, what with us not being in America." "That's not a thing." "It's a thing. Section 14 of Zhezhov, we just call it Zhezhov, deals with conversational topics and the influence of outside cultures and language. We're obligated by its terms to do everything in our power to stop the creep of alien cultures, particularly, to be honest, American." He silenced the buzz of the clippers, lifted a brush, quickly swept away around the neck and then whipped off the cape and stood back. "You're done." "Wait, what?" said Dreadnought. He looked in the mirror. He was done. Best haircut of his life. His time in the chair was over and there was nothing he could do about it. Darkness had come across the land. There's little point now that the clocks had gone back and standing at the window looking out on the world at this time. All they'd see was their own reflections. Instead, they sat around the shop, drinking a wrap-up cup of tea, chewing the fat of another uneventful day in the shop. "Ah," said Igor. Keanu nodded. "Yep, nice move in the Zhezhov Covenant," he said. "And I like the way you distracted him at the end so he didn't think to look at the sign. Would you like me to get an actual Zhezhov Covenant certificate printed off to put in the wall?" "Sure," said Barney, nodding. "If you can be bothered writing one, we can run with that. Why don't you just email me the real thing?" Barney and Igor looked at him in the way they'd done so often in the past. "It's not a real thing," said Barney. "What? What do you mean, what? You just made it up?" "Yes. On the spot." "Yes? Wow." Keanu shook his head, laughing. "Man, I completely fell for that. I mean, I was thinking, shit, I must have missed that in some morning briefing or the other. Didn't like to say it in case I looked stupid." "Wouldn't want that," said Igor, sniggering, though it came out as arf. "We don't have morning briefings," said Barney. "Sure we do. When we sit around drinking tea, catching up. What's that, if not a morning briefing?" Fair enough. Barney took a drink of tea. He glanced at Igor. They looked at Keanu and shook their heads in a benevolent way. "I look stupid now, don't I?" said Keanu. "Pretty much," said Barney. "But you're okay. We're not on live TV." "Live broadcast from inside a barbershop is banned by Zhezhov," said Keanu. And Barney smiled, and Igor smiled in his own grim way, and the day came to conclusion after the fashion of an American 70s sitcom happy ending. There would be other days, of course, albeit in these dark times, no one could be entirely sure how many.